Welcome to Follow Your Curiosity, Ordinary People, Extraordinary Creativity. Here's how to get unstuck. I'm your host, creativity coach, Nancy Norbeck. Let's go. On January 3rd, 2019, I took a huge leap and launched the Follow Your Curiosity podcast. 5 years later, to no one's amazement as much as mine, I'm still going strong. I wanted to look back at what I've learned since 2019, so I asked my friend Dominic Shortino, who interviewed me back then, to come back and do it again. Together, we look at how the show got started, what initially gave me the idea for a podcast, what curiosity is, who my dream guest might be, why you should start where you are, and more. I hope you enjoyed this look back as much as I did. Welcome back to Follow Your Curiosity, Dom.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Nancy.
You are so welcome. So anybody who hasn't listened from the beginning or hasn't listened for a while to the original interviews that I did 5 years ago may not remember that you were one of my first guests, and you also, at my invitation, turned the tables on me and interviewed me about my creative journey. And you did such a fantastic job that I wanted you to come back and talk to me about what I've learned in the last 5 years from doing this crazy thing, because frankly, me sitting in front of a microphone talking to no one sounded not interesting to me at all. So thank you for agreeing to do that and for jumping in here. And I'm going to leave myself in your very capable hands for the next hour as we explore this adventure that has been this podcast.
Okay, great. Should I introduce you? Or no, this is Nancy. And I'm going to interview Nancy about what she's learned about her podcast. And I'm going to ad lib it, but I'm all about spontaneity. So
you and me both.
Good things happen with spontaneity. So any opening remarks you want to start with? A little about yourself, a little about, yeah.
I'm amazed that it's been 5 years already. I'm amazed that I'm still doing this 5 years in. I think when I started it, it was kind of, it was a lark, right? It was something that I was curious about doing. But it was also, speaking of spontaneity, something that had kind of popped into my head, literally like in the shower at the gym one night. And I hadn't really gotten past that initial, hey, this sounds kind of fun stage, when I went to a Doctor Who convention in Baltimore in March of 2018, happened to strike up a conversation with Robert Shearman, who wrote one of the most highly regarded episodes of the new series called Dalek. And just as we were talking about whatever, you know, it was one of those conversations where, frankly, if exhaustion hadn't stopped us, probably nothing else would have. And I thought, I should ask this guy to be on my podcast. And I was like, what, the podcast that doesn't have a name that I don't actually have? That? And I said, yeah, I should totally ask. If he says no, it's no big deal. If he says yes, run with it, you know? And so I did. And he said yes. And that is honestly the reason, you know, we recorded that episode on my iPad in a hotel room before I left. And if I hadn't done that, I'm not sure I would have this podcast, because once I had done that, then I had to actually do something with it. You know, I mean, he may have forgotten about it, but I wasn't going to forget about it. And so it was like, okay, now this thing is real. And I think it was about a month later that you and I met up in York.
I remember the story. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we did our two interviews. I interviewed a bunch of other people. And then at the end of 2018, I started putting it together into actual episodes and launched it in January of 2019, which is just like, it seems like yesterday and like forever ago. But yeah, that's basically the story of how this podcast happened. It was just a chance conversation with an interesting person who happened to say yes. So
that's why
that's why I'm such an advocate for, yeah, ask. You know?
What do you have you counted how many interviews you've done?
I have not, but it's been an interview every other week for 5 years with two replays every year at the holidays. So it's about, so there's 52 weeks in a year. Every other week is what, 26, something like that. Minus two.
Okay.
Times five.
I'm not good at math.
I'm not.
That's
either,
a lot.
But it's something like
that's
that.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's that's, a lot.
That's impressive. I applaud you.
It's kind of amazing.
Does it like, feel like work?
Doing the interviews does not feel like work at all. Doing the interviews is always fun because I literally, and I did not realize when I came up with the podcast, came up with the title, anything, how true this was going to be, but I literally follow my own curiosity throughout every interview.
Yeah.
So that's always interesting and exciting. Editing's not necessarily my favorite, but I have discovered ways to make it feel less like work.
Oh, wow. So, explain that.
So I think I'm going to preface this by reminding people that, you know, this is a homegrown podcast. I literally like reverse engineered other people's podcasts to figure out how to do this. I do all the editing myself, which means I've had to learn how to use Audacity to a certain extent, yes, which has been cool. But there's also, I am quite sure, a ton of stuff that I don't know that I don't know. And so probably somebody, if somebody who has actual audio editing experience is listening to this, they're probably going to have a heart attack in like 5 seconds. But what I have discovered is that if I put the interview on my phone and then listen to it while I do something like going for a walk or cleaning my kitchen or something like that, then I can listen for all of the things that I need to edit out and I mark them down in a note on my phone and just race through the whole thing that way. Race is a wrong word. You can't speed it up. But it makes it feel less like I'm not sitting there staring at a waveform for an hour or so.
Yes.
Right? So right. It's possible that I miss things that way, but anything that I miss is not that big. And so it makes actually sitting down in Audacity and going through and finding those things, I can do it in 5 or 10 minutes. And it's just like, yes, I'm done. And it didn't feel like work. So is it proper audio editing? No, but it works.
No, but it works. You were working a full-time job when you started this? Mm-hmm. Was it ever overwhelming? Did you have to set goals and deadlines? Or did it flow naturally?
It's never really been about, I want to say it's never really been about goals and deadlines, but that's not really true as I think about it, because obviously there's a deadline. Every Wednesday an episode goes out.
Yes.
So what kind of happened is that I have fallen into this rhythm where Saturday and Sunday, my weekends are usually, especially if it's an interview that's coming up, that's podcast weekend. Which is part of why I came up with this other way of editing things, because then like I could listen to it while I was, you know, taking a 10-minute break walking around in the hallways at work or something like that. You're not going to get through the whole thing, but you get through part of it, you know? Because otherwise, when I first started it, it really was like my weekend is editing the podcast and putting all of the stuff up and creating the blog post that I do for each episode. So like when I discovered that there was a plugin that would clone posts on WordPress, the best days of my life, because it was taking me forever to recreate these things from scratch every week. And now I just clone it and I change the names to protect the guilty, you know, just change the information. The format is already there, so I don't have to do that. But otherwise, it was, you know, an hour or so, maybe more, depending on how much I needed to do to the episode to sit down and edit it, staring at the screen, and then, you know, putting it all together and then dealing with the host and dealing with posting it and all of that stuff. But now it takes a lot less time because I've discovered things like that and how to edit it while not feeling like I'm editing it. Yeah. But the deadline is always there. And I am the kind of person who does really well with a deadline that I know I have to meet. as long as I'm not the only one who cares if I meet it. If I'm the only one who cares if I meet the deadline, forget it. But if I know that right. every Wednesday this thing has to go out because people are expecting it, it's going to go out and it's going to be ready to go. It could be that the blog post is a little late, but that episode will be ready to go.
And that has never been oppressive to you. It has been a joy, probably.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that, it would be nice to farm this part out to somebody else. And yet, you know, when I think about that, I'm not entirely sure that I would want to farm it out to somebody else because I do enjoy listening to the episode again, especially
nice. You know, like,
sometimes I record a whole bunch at the same time. And so it's been a couple months between recording and releasing. So I've forgotten a lot of it. So it's really cool to get to go and listen to it again. So, you know, I don't know. Would I really want to farm it out to somebody else? Yes and no at the same time. I'm not sure. But that I don't make enough money off of this podcast because I make no money off of this podcast to hire somebody to do that. So it's me.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you a question as to after the interview has ended, on average, how many times do you listen to that interview again with the editing process? Just once or is it more than once? Yeah. So you could usually get it done.
Yeah.
If you, let me ask another question. If you were at a mixer, a party or whatever, and you were working your full-time job and you were doing this podcast and somebody came up to you and said, "Hi, Nancy, what do you do?" How would you answer that question?
Oh, that's always such a good question. I think, you know, I'm trying to think of an instance where that's happened in the last couple of years. Of course, there haven't been as many parties and mixers in the last couple of years because, you know,
true.
We got locked down. But I think my instinct at this point would be to go podcast first.
Yeah, right on.
You know, just because it's the thing that I love. And then, you know, if somebody says, "Oh, do you make enough money to do that?" And then I'd be like, "Oh, heck no."
I think the proper answer to that is not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That plants a seed, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of does. It kind of does. And, you know, I was just talking to a friend yesterday who was like, "You know, you need to monetize your podcast and you need to like do ads with it and stuff." I was like, "Can I just tell you how much I really don't want to break my podcast up with ads?" You know, yeah. I've thought about it and I'm just like, it annoys me when I listen to other people's podcasts. And I mean, I know this is what people do and it's not exactly abnormal or whatever, but when it's yours, I think it feels different. And I've just been like,
that's the best podcasts, in my opinion, do not have ads. You're correct. And I know we've had a little discussion of art versus commerce and like how that fits together or not. But first of all, would you consider your podcast art?
Ooh. Nobody's ever asked me that. And it seems like the most obvious question you could ask me, right? In a way, yeah, I think it is. I don't always think of it that way, but I think there is an art to having conversations with people. And there is definitely an art to listening. And I really did not appreciate how much of an art there is to listening. And especially how much we don't listen to each other until I started doing this podcast.
Oh, how wonderful. I 100% agree with that. And let me just make a side note. I'm assuming you've read The Creative Act by Rick Rubin.
I've started it. I haven't finished it. I've seen a whole bunch of interviews with him. I have yet to see anything that I don't agree with.
So it kind of blew up. But I mean, when you're talking about, is this podcast art? I think 100%. When you're creating, that is art, you know? But yeah. Anyways, back on track. I figured you had heard of it, but back on track. If you had to give a definition of curiosity, not just a dictionary textbook definition, but what it means to you, what would that definition be?
Like, bring in the hard questions, my friend.
I'm like on the fly too, right?
I know, like, right?
Maybe I have a new little you know, hobby in the works, interviewing. Whenever you need a vacation, I can take your spot. No, I'm not. I'm not saying I could do that.
Follow Your Curiosity podcast.
Yeah, I'm certainly not. I'm certainly not assuming that I could do half as good as you. But, but so, anyways,
okay. What is curiosity? You're not helping me with the no dictionary definition, so I'm not exactly sure.
Well, you can, but I mean, I also want kind of a personal take on the word as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to say it's asking questions, but it's not just asking questions, because it's what causes you to ask questions. It's being connected, I think, and maybe this is the link to the listening piece, though I don't think that. I was going to say, I don't think you have to be listening for like every kind of curiosity, but maybe you do. And maybe it's just not a conventional kind of listening, but like, you know, little kids will ask questions about every single thing because they don't know what the heck it is. Right. And they want to know. And I think that curiosity at its core is that wanting to know and wanting to know more. And so, you know, when I'm talking to somebody, there's something that happens in my head that I don't know how to describe, but you know, they'll say something maybe in the first 10 minutes that kind of catches my attention, and then they'll say something else maybe 20 minutes in, and those two things will link up in my head, and I'll have to know more about how the one connects to the other, you know. And so that's where listening and paying attention fuels the curiosity, because like, wait a minute, hang on, you were talking about this and now you said this, and these two things link up, and maybe they link up with this other thing over here that you haven't talked about yet, but you're about to, and we're going to pull all of these three things together. And I think this is why, you know, not everybody says this, but several people have told me that I've asked them things that no one's ever asked them before. And I'm like, I think that's why, you know, if you go into an interview the way I used to, with a list of these are the questions I want to ask this person, and you never deviate from that list, you'll probably have a good conversation. You'll get the answers you were looking for. But I stopped doing this. And I talked about this the last time Kelly Flanagan was on the show, but the first time I interviewed Kelly, I was not prepared for him to blow through all of my questions in 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I sat here going, holy crap, it's only 15 minutes. What am I going to do? And, you know, the wise part of my brain said, you're going to listen and you're going to have a conversation and you're going to ask questions based on what you hear. And that's what I did for the rest of that interview. I haven't gone back and listened to it lately, but I would bet you that you could tell the difference between the first 15 minutes and the last 45 minutes.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Because the energy was so different, because I wasn't sitting there looking at a list. And I liked that so much better that I've just never done it any other way since. And so,
this is before you had titled the podcast?
No, I think at that point I knew what I was going to call it.
So you heeded the title.
Yeah, without really thinking about it, noticing it.
Right.
I did.
It's amazing. Like,
this is how this is going to go. And so, you know, yes, if I'm talking to somebody who has published things or whatever, I'll go through and I'll read the biography and I'll read the stuff that they've published and you know, or at least a good chunk of it, you know. But I've talked to people that I basically have known nothing about. And sometimes people will say, you know, but you do so much research for this podcast. And I'm sitting there feeling like, you know, the cheating kid who's just been caught. Because I'm like,
no,
I really don't. I just listen and ask questions. And that's it. And I think that's really, to me, that's what makes a really good interview. You know, and I've talked to a couple people and heard there was... Alan Alda has a podcast about scientific communication called Clear and Vivid. And it's really good, though I am astonished at how much of it he manages to put out. I can't keep up with everything. But he did an interview a couple years ago, and I think I think it was Ann Patchett, the novelist, and they were talking about interviewing people. And they both said, you know, they come up with their questions ahead of time and kind of try to keep them in their heads. And then they go out on stage to actually talk to this person. And they really just have a conversation and feed those questions in as it makes sense to feed them in, kind of hope that they remember all of them, you know. And maybe it was mostly her talking about this. I could be a little bit misremembering this, but it's essentially the same thing. You know, with certain people, there are things that I want to make sure that we have a chance to talk about. So I've got them up in my head and, you know, keeping an eye on the time and making sure that we still have enough time to talk about this thing. But it's sort of, oh, this is a great place to ask this question. So I'll ask this question. And then we see where it goes. And it can go anywhere. We can land in all sorts of interesting places that we didn't expect to go to, which is why I do tell people, if we go someplace that you're not comfortable with, just tell me and we'll redirect somewhere else. Because I don't want anybody to be on the spot for something they'd rather not talk about. And with this kind of conversation, you could land there without even realizing it if you don't ask that question. But yeah, I mean, it's just follow the conversation where it wants to go.
Yeah.
Which is why sometimes there's, you know, all sorts of strange places that we end up that we didn't expect to. And I think that's the really cool thing about doing this is that you can end up in those weird, strange places that you weren't expecting. Because you're not following a script and you're not just like, okay, I'm going to ask these 10 questions and then we're done. It's an actual conversation. There's give and take, and that's kind of how it should be, right?
Absolutely. So if you're ready to go to that weird place, I have a couple questions like in the back of my mind that just popped up.
All right. So,
what's the opposite of curiosity? Just answer that and then I'll ask part two.
The first word that popped into my head was apathy.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was thinking certainty. So that is really interesting.
That's true too.
But now you're the podcaster. So now part two of the question is, would follow your apathy make an interesting podcast at all?
Is even if you asked if it was follow your certainty, yeah. I can't really see where that would take you anywhere either way.
I think there's podcasts doing it now.
You're probably right.
We're right. We have all the answers and here's the podcast. We're not going to go further on that subject. But
yeah, but that's an interesting question.
Right. So, you know, I'm all about the yin and yang and the opposites. And the reason I asked that is because I wanted to ask the question is like, why is curiosity so essential to us as artists, as interviewers, as human beings? That's a really big question, I know, but I know you're going to come up with a great answer. And that's why I asked it.
Layer the pressure on there, Dom.
No.
Now, you know, I am not sure, especially because you've just brought up apathy and certainty, and I think that they're both good answers to the opposite of curiosity. I don't know if you can you grow without curiosity? I don't think you can. I think you would just be a robot.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
In one sense or another. I think it would just be, I'm told I'm supposed to do this thing, therefore I'm going to do this thing, and I'm never going to ask a question, and I'm never, you know, and that is like the antithesis of being human. You know, every human being asks questions, at least up to a certain point, until somebody beats it out of them or tries to, you know, because certainly there are teachers and parents and all sorts of people who don't want to be bothered with your questions. Stop asking questions. Why do you ask me questions all the time? And some people just learn to stop asking, which I think is tragic.
You need to write down, without curiosity, you're a robot. That's an amazing quote, because it really is. And if I could, I don't want to hug up the interview, but I just have to put in two points here. I heard a pastor say once that one of his congregation members came up to him and said, "Oh, I can't wait till I die and go to heaven. And that way I know everything and how it all works. Don't you want to know everything?" And the pastor goes, "Oh God, no, that would be awful." Right? Like a life without curiosity.
Right.
But the second thing I want to mention, and you can edit this out, I don't know if you Robert Sapolsky is. He's a behavioral psychologist. Like, he wrote a book called Behave, which is about why we fight. Really thick book, but very, you know, pop psychology. Mm-hmm. He just finished a book that just was released. I have not read it yet. That's causing a lot of stir. It's called Determined. And he said, he puts out this, the psychological case that we have no free will. And So I was having a conversation with somebody about that. And they said, well, there's always the thing under the thing. Like, sure, you could say, as human beings, we just follow whatever neurons are firing, whatever pathways that have been established through our DNA or whatever. But there's something underneath that. And I think your podcast is a good example of that. Like, you don't have to have a spiritual path or an idea about, you know, supernatural things. You just know that we don't have all the answers. And that's why curiosity is important, right?
Right. Right. That's
so
wild.
Thanks for letting me insert that.
No, I know. I'm glad you did.
I actually downloaded the book. I'm dying to read it. I need to know. But anyways, sorry to diverge. That's what Dom does.
No, it's okay. You know, that reminds me of something that I have noticed with this podcast for the last couple of years, which is that there are things in life that are work, right? Like, you have to constantly be putting out the fires or herding the cats or whatever. There is something about this podcast that has a life of its own that I do not understand. And it just, you know, every time that I've thought, oh man, I don't have a guest for, you know, 3 weeks from now, what am I going to do? You know, something like that. Something happens. Somebody contacts me. Somebody refers me to somebody else. Something happens. If the moments when I have ever panicked about something like that are few and far between and never lasted very long. And it just, a couple of years ago, I started, you know, I told somebody, I said, this podcast in my head is like a kite, right? The kite is flying up in the sky and I don't know where it's going. I don't know what it's about to do. I am just hanging on to the tail of that kite for dear life, waiting to see where it takes me next. And it just has always worked that way. And it's like the weirdest thing. It's like, you know, if anybody ever suggests, you know, are you sure you want to keep doing this? I'm like, it hasn't let me down yet. So yeah, because I don't know where it's taking me from here. And so, you know, and some of the people that I've had the chance to interview, I never would have imagined that I would be talking to when I had that conversation with Robert Shearman in 2018, you know, never. And so, and that's not necessarily just some of the more famous people, but, you know, I've talked to people that aren't very well known who have given me, you know, some of the most fascinating conversations I've ever had in my life. I'm talking to one of them right now.
Thank you for that.
Your episode is still one of my all-time favorites, but you know, it's just you. Like, It's doing its thing. It knows what it's doing. I don't question it. I let it go where it wants to go and see where it takes me. And, you know, I don't have a name for that. I'm sure somebody has a name for it. I mean, serendipity maybe, but it feels like a little more than that somehow. But yeah, no, I don't argue with the podcast. I let the podcast tell me what it's doing and I go with it. And that's it.
That's wonderful. I love the whole, I like everything falling into place. It just happens. I think that just happens when you do something you love. I think you've connected with some kind of, I don't know, like going back to the Rick Rubin book, like some kind of source that is the source of creation. I'm not talking God. I'm not, you know what I mean? Just saying there's just a unique way it works that's inexplicable.
Yeah.
Cormac McCarthy actually talked about that after he No Country for Old Men was made into a movie. And you know, he was really like broken, destitute, but he just kept writing. And he was writing Blood Meridian, probably his most heralded novel, and he was waiting on a grant to get that book written. And he gave an interview where he said he was so broke he couldn't even afford a toothbrush. And he says, I just stopped worrying about it and just kept working. And within 3 days, Colgate apparently was sending free toothbrushes out and one landed in his mailbox. So, I mean, it's the same kind of thing. It's, you know, and he talked about that, you know, there's just something to following your curiosity, following your love, that things fall into place. Sorry, I'm off track again because I did have another specific.
Not at all, because I think that's right.
I don't want to say I know it's right for everybody, but I want to say I think if more people followed that, don't you think the world, not just the world, but America specifically, would be a better place?
I think anything would be a better place because it's like. To me, it's like a sign that you're doing the thing you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, because it just falls into place that you sit there going, okay, I don't get it, but I'm not going to argue with it. I'm just going to go where
I'm going to be curious about it, but I'm not.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know where I'm going next, but I bet it'll be interesting. Oh, and yeah, I mean, it's a really unique, weird feeling because I don't think anything in my life has ever really come together in exactly this way. So like there may have been little glimpses of it in different places over time, but this is its whole own little special beast. Whatever
Absolutely.
Words go with it, I don't know, but that's kind of what it is. Yeah.
So let's go back to that party where they ask you what you do. So you take away Robert Schumann, you take away me. If you had to explain to somebody your podcast, is there an interview that you would always go to as an example of what you do?
Ooh.
So that would be, if you pick Robert and me, there would have to be the third. Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
All right, you can pick me and Robert if that makes it easier.
No, thinking like... John Rodel comes to mind.
Okay.
He's been on twice, but especially the first time, but also the second time. Because he is a guy who never set out to be a poet. And now his poems go viral on the internet all the time. And he writes these beautiful things. And his story is basically, you know, my high school English teacher told me that I was never going to be able to write. And here I am with poems that go around the world in like 24 hours. And he also is a student of improv. And so it's kind of the same thing that I was just talking about with doing this podcast. Somebody comes up to him and says, hey, do you want to do this? And he says, sure. You know, it's like he lives the yes and. And he's certainly not the only guest that I've talked to who has a yes and story. Jennifer Nesta Zaffuti comes to mind. Her story is amazing. But you know, there's something about that discovery when you're, I don't know how old he was, but I would guess, you know, like in his 40s when he first started writing this stuff and people started paying attention.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, you know, you're off on this trip because you said yes. And it's exactly the opposite of where you were told you were going to be, or in his case, weren't going to be. And, you know, so when people have asked him to do workshops, he said, yes, I don't know how to do a workshop, but sure, I'll come and I'll figure out how to do a workshop for you, you know? And so it's just, and he's just such an interesting guy too. He's though, I don't think I would say anyone that I've talked to isn't interesting, but he's got such an interesting story because this is, you know, he's from Cheyenne, Wyoming. His family ran a pharmacy. You know, this is completely not where he ever thought he was going to be. And so, you know, that's just how he's done his whole life. When they found out that his son was autistic, okay, yes, and what do we do? You know, it's the same kind of thing. So he comes to mind as one that would be a good example if I can't point to you or Rob. Yeah. But
I think he should move ahead of me. It sounds like he has that. How do you find your guests? Do you follow your curiosity? I mean, is the most obvious answer, but
yeah. So sometimes I always ask people who've been on the show to send other people to me if they think of someone they think would be a good fit.
I remember that.
And really, I thought at the beginning that that was how it was all going to happen. Because it's like, I don't, you know, how many people do I know?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people have been referred to me by somebody else that I've talked to. There's also a couple of websites that are sort of like dating sites, but for podcast hosts and guests.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'm on one of those. I don't use it a whole lot because I haven't needed to, but I found some really interesting people that way too. And then I will go up and talk to people at, you know, book fairs, at Doctor Who conventions, you know, any place that stuff like that's going on. And so I've had a couple of people that I've met that way. And sometimes people find me. You know, sometimes yeah. somebody will send me an email and say, hey, I really like your show and here's what I do and I'd like to be on it. And generally speaking, we make that happen. So, wow. You know, it kind of depends on how overloaded I am at any given minute. but yeah, you know, it's like, sure, you sound interesting. Come talk to me. And honestly, I mean, almost everybody has an interesting story, whether they know it or not.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
You probably know more about that than I do because you talk to so many people all day.
I do. Yeah. Some things I don't want to learn.
For those who have not mostly, heard Tom's previous interview, he's a barber, so he talks to all sorts of people all the time.
I do. A lot of untold stories that you wish were told. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
like the emphasis we put on other things, you know, not that I may, but I just think there's a lot of people that do not have the exposure that you wish people could mm-hmm. hear what they have to say. So speaking of that, wishing you could hear what have people to say, are there any plans, and I'm not talking from a commerce standpoint, to expand your podcast somehow, to delve into other media, follow your curiosity? Has that been, if it's not out of bounds, has there been any thought to a book or a workshop like you were talking about, you know?
I haven't thought about delving into other topics really seriously just because what I already do takes up enough of my time. And so, you know, that hasn't really had room in my brain. I have kind of casually thought about turning the pep talk episodes into a book. But I haven't gone any farther with that. So
I would totally read it.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this past week's was number 75, talking of things that I can't believe I've done that many of. Yeah. Cause at first I was like, there's no way I'm going to do more than like 20 of these because I'm going to run out of ideas. And here we are with 75 of the little buggers. So, So I've thought about that. I am working on creating a one-on-one program to help people reconnect with their creative spark right now.
Yes.
So, I'm talking to a lot of people to figure out like what that might look like for them, what they would need, what would really be valuable, and try to take all of that information and use it to create something. So that's in the works, but I haven't thought about it as an extension of the podcast, but I guess maybe it kind of is because it's all the same subject.
It's on brand. It's on brand.
Yeah.
The book should have the follow your curiosity at the bottom. The workshop should have the.
Yeah. And I did start a Substack newsletter this last summer.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like whatever I feel like writing. It's breaking all the rules of doing an online newsletter, you know, where people are like, well, you need to pick your niche and you should tell people what they can expect from you all the time. And I'm like, dude, that's what a full-time job is for. I don't want to do that.
And that's actually the antithesis of curiosity. Like we talked about before,
right?
Certainty, like I'm this corner.
Yeah. That to me is like, go to the widget factory and make widgets all day, you know?
Right, exactly. Yes.
I was like, no, I want to do this to have a place to experiment with my own writing and just write whatever wants to be written at any given time. And sometimes that's a poem. Sometimes, you know, it's a thing about something that I've just done. Sometimes it's me ranting about artificial intelligence, which I've done more than I thought I would because people keep doing stupid things with it. Should you use AI to create a George Carlin comedy special? No, no, you shouldn't. And the people who did are getting sued. So, you know, so that's out there too. And that's just kind of, you never know what you're going to get.
Jumping into the AI thing, because I just have to add this. I read something really interesting that said that, you know, AI was supposed to take all the menial jobs so that we could free ourselves to create art. And what's happening? AI is creating art and we are doing the menial jobs. And part of that is because we're not paid well enough to do the menial jobs. So we are cheaper than a robot. And that's
right.
We're just going to leave it at that, right?
And also, it's creating bad art, people. It is creating bad.
It's horrible.
Art. Have you looked at these things, you know, where people have three legs or eight fingers or, you know, whatever it is?
It was a Super Bowl commercial. Yeah. Yeah. It's awful.
It's not creating good art. And it never will because it's a machine.
I mean, Hollywood said, like, hey, we'll just clone, we'll just get your image and add infinite. Right? So it's, the threat is already there. It's like, wait, I thought machines were supposed to be packing boxes and making machine parts and, you know, and we were supposed to be doing the drawing and the painting and the filming and, anyways,
yeah, leave it that. Every I'm getting science off track. Fiction series that has ever gone there, right? Every science fiction series that has ever gone there has showed you how AI can screw up everything.
Yep.
Even Star Trek, you know, Data has the evil twin. I mean, come on.
Absolutely, right?
It's
Planet Piano, Kurt Vonnegut, you know, like so much.
Galactica,
like,
with the Cylons, how is sci-fi like so humans? Right? Yeah, I mean,
how is sci-fi, you know, there's a, you talk about science fiction and art form, you know, is actually shaping, like predicting the future. Kind of like The Simpsons has always predicted, right? It's weird.
I would like there's, The Simpsons to have been wrong about that. More things, but. And hey, Star Trek may be predicting the Irish reunification of 2024 from the sound of things, so you never know.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I think it's getting closer.
No.
Yeah.
What's your dream interview? Now, you can't say Sam Neill. I already know that one.
Sam Neill would be great.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a story about Sam Neill that inspired the idea to do a podcast in the first place. Yeah, he was, I can't remember where I heard this anymore, so I hope that I haven't completely rewritten this story in my head, but he was at boarding school as a kid, and his dad was a major in the Army and would call the boarding school and say, make sure he's playing rugby and, you know, doing all of these manly things. And apparently, you know, the folks at the school would say, absolutely, Major Neil. We'll get right on that, Major Neil. And they'd hang up the phone and turn to Sam and say, so we're going to do this play we thought you might want to audition for.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just thinking, I love stories like that. I love people who are smart enough to do that and make a difference to a kid or somebody who is, you know, still in that kid-like stage with whatever it is that they want to do and are just like, sure, we'll make sure he plays rugby, but we're going to have him audition for this play. And I just wanted to hear more stories about that, which is part of why I ask people about being a creative kid, you know, because if there's a story like that, I want to hear it. Dream interview. I mean, I've kind of done a couple of dream interviews.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah, I mean, I never would in a million years would have guessed that I would get to interview Paul McGann for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And he's promised me that we're going to do it again when I talked to him last August, but we'll see how long it takes to track him down. But it's hard to say because, you know, like, yeah, there are people, would I like to talk to Paul McCartney? Sure. Though Paul McCartney has been interviewed to death. So, you know, would he be able to tell me anything we didn't already know? I don't know. Who else? Well, Alan Alda, I think, would be great.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
There you go.
Of course, he's so busy doing his own interviews that I don't know if he'd pay any attention. But
have you reached out to him?
I haven't, and I should, just for kicks, because you never know.
You never know.
Who else? Emma Thompson?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Emma Thompson would be really cool. And maybe like Helen Mirren, both of them are so like no nonsense that I think it would be really interesting to hear the story of how they got there. You know?
That, like, I think that's amazing.
Doing this stuff forever. How did you get to the point where you were able to say, yeah, I'm not going to remake myself in your image for you. I'm going to do this my way. Because I think with actors in particular, that's really hard because you're getting paid every day to remake yourself in somebody else's image. So how does that overlap with your real life? And what do you do to kind of make sure that you're still yourself on the other side? Would be really interesting to hear about. Those are the first ones that come to mind. But you also just never know which person that you never heard of until somebody sent them your way or you stumbled on them on Twitter, because I've found people that way too, is going to be a great interview that you never would have guessed. And so that could end up being your dream interview that you never knew was your dream interview.
Oh, nice. That's true. Yeah. Especially nowadays, with the world is flat, with the internet, you know, like you never know who's going to go viral and, you know.
Yeah, and it's not even about viral. It's just about who's really interesting and fun to talk to.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know? I mean...
Absolutely.
There's a guy... Now I'm going to, like, screw up his last name, I think. I think it was Tom Colgan. Something very much like that, if I've screwed that up. He's an editor with Random House. And I found him on Twitter, and I was like, come talk to me about what editing books is about, because people don't understand that it's not sitting down with a pen and paper and crossing words out and putting different ones in, you know? And so, you know, we had a great conversation. It was a ton of fun. And
that's cool.
Kevin John Davis, who just, you know, he's a director. He worked as an animator on Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And then he directed a bunch of documentaries. And most recently, he's written a book based on the Douglas Adams archives at Cambridge.
Oh, what?
And,
oh my gosh.
You know, I found him on Twitter and he was fantastic. So yeah, you never know who's going to be a really great, fun interview that you couldn't have predicted.
Nice. Is there anything 2024 Nancy would tell 2018 Nancy?
Well, I would definitely tell her about cloning posts on WordPress and how to edit more.
I love it. Yes.
I would definitely tell her about that. I think mostly I would just tell her to just keep doing what she's doing.
Yeah, keep going.
You know, like the stuff that you don't know how to do, you'll figure out, and probably less matters than you think it does. You know, when you start things, you get hung up on, but I don't know how to do this, and I don't know how to do this, and I don't know how to do this. And like I said, when we started, there's still a lot of stuff that I don't know that I don't know. But hey, I've had a podcast sitting here for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, and what I tell other people all the time is to start where you are, which I'm really glad I had the sense to do. Right. I started with an iPad and a spontaneous interview invitation at a convention. And now I'm still sitting here talking to you from the closet in my bedroom because that's my studio. And would I love to have a quote unquote real studio? Sure. But the commute here is great. And the fact is, it works.
Absolutely.
You know, if I didn't tell people I was doing this in my closet, which is such a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason because it does work. They wouldn't know, but I tell people because I want them to know that they should just start with what they've got.
Absolutely. So two things I need you to write down and put them somewhere in your podcast and the tagline is like, without curiosity, we're just robots. Number one. And number two is start where you are. That's such great advice. Jack White from the White Stripes. Do you know who he is? Mm-hmm. He became a mega rock star, and he says, you don't need that $1,000 guitar.
No, you don't.
And there's a movie called It Might Get Loud. It's a documentary about guitar players. And in the opening scene, it's him and, you know, near the farms of Michigan and literally a cow field. And he takes an electronic conductor and he nails a string to the porch post and hooks this up and starts playing slide guitar on one string, you know, it sounds amazing, you know,
Wow.
But anyways.
I have
two more questions for you.
Okay. Let me just say one thing.
No. Yes, please. Well, yeah, go ahead. This just is your podcast, that, like, even though you're being interviewed.
You know, if I had waited until I had a studio, I still wouldn't have a podcast. If I had waited until I had a real microphone, I definitely wouldn't have a podcast because I wouldn't have asked Rob Shearman if he wanted to do an interview with just an iPad, right? It's like I have a mic now, but you can also do an interview with your phone. You know, it's what you have. So like start with what you have and where you are and worry about the rest of that stuff later. I'm so glad that I did not let that stop me. Yeah.
Amen. So two questions. The first one is there anything you'd like to share with your listeners other than what we've covered? Anything that you'd like them to know about the podcast?
I would like them to know that I don't know exactly who they are. You know, I've never met most of them. I've never seen their faces. I see where they are, and they're in some pretty surprising and amazing places. But wherever they are and whoever they are, that I appreciate them so much, because if nobody's listening, there's no point doing this. And I would love to hear from them. I really would. I have kind of learned that podcasting is kind of perceived as this one-way medium, but seriously, there are so many ways to get in touch with me, and I would love to hear from people who listen to this show and just hear what their experience is, or hear who they think I should talk to, or, you know, whatever.
Awesome. That's great. You ready for the last question?
Sure. Should I brace myself?
When is the sequel to The Silver Child coming out? I've been waiting.
Okay, so true story about the sequel to The Silver Child. I actually had an idea.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that.
No, you're not. That's okay.
I love the book. I think I have reiterated that to you many times, right? It's listeners, if you have not read The Silver Child and you like fantasy, it's such a wonderful book.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I had an idea for another book to go with The Silver Child, and I think it was a prequel. And this was, I don't even remember how many years ago now. And I thought, okay, that would be really cool. But I want to reread the book to make sure that everything's fresh in my head before I do anything with it. And I committed the gravest sin that you can commit as any sort of creative person who comes up with an idea that sounds good. And if you are sort of if you are that sort of person, you probably know what I am about to say.
Yes.
I didn't write it down.
Yeah. I think like 100 listeners just groaned because we've all been there.
We've all been there, right? And I have done it multiple times, and you would think that I would have learned my lesson.
And if only we had a device that we could, like, you know, take notes on that we carry with us all the time.
Right? I have no excuse. The thing is,
we will forgive you, but you know what?
In my
hand. Because serendipity, there is another idea that is going to be greater than that. That's exactly what just happened. There are no mistakes, right?
That's true. I think that's true.
You know what? Eckhart Tolle, you know who Eckhart Tolle is?
Mm-hmm.
He says, whatever happens to you in your life, whatever happens to you in your life, act on it as if you had chosen it yourself.
That's
Work
good.
With it, not against it.
That's good.
So that idea went away because there's another one, a better one coming.
I guess. Yeah. but
seriously, love the book.
My curiosity is, what the heck was that idea? I would love to know what it was.
Give it to the universe. It's going to send it back to you.
Yeah.
At like 3 in the morning, you're going to wake up.
Whenever something hits me that feels like the right thing, I will run with it. But, you know, and actually I probably do need to reread the book to help make that happen. But yeah, I sat down and I reread a decent chunk of it. And then I was like, wait, what was I going to do with this?
I'm going to have to reread it.
Yeah, it was just, you got to be kidding me, man. I did it again. I did it again. Dear listeners, write down all your ideas. Whether they're good or not, just write them down. Hopefully someday I will learn this lesson myself.
Hey, I want to thank you for letting me do this.
Oh, well, thank you for being willing. I mean, you were the obvious choice, and I'm glad you were available and up for it.
It brightened my day to hear somebody that's doing what they love, because I too often hear the opposite.
I think it brightened mine to kind of go back and look at it all at one time.
Yeah, just kind of sort through it now.
Yeah. You ask good questions.
Well, thank you.
You should start your own podcast.
I actually had an idea for a podcast, and it was about me and my coworker about pickles and movies. We were going to get together once a week and eat different pickles. Because if you don't know, I'm a pickle fanatic. You might not know that.
I'm not
a freak. So we're going to sample a different pickle and talk about a film, just any film, and call it something like Pickles and Films or something. Pickles and Picks. I don't know. But finding the time to do that biweekly, like you do, is very difficult. But I do have it written now.
Yes. Good. Yes. Good.
I carry a pocket notebook everywhere. And
my,
if I lose that,
has
I'm
not
screwed,
been but. For naught. Dom rips that idea down.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy. Anything you want to add? Or
no, I think we're good. Thank you.
All right. Nancy Norbeck, thank you so much for your time today.
That is this week's show. I'm so grateful to Dominic Schwartino for joining me, but even more, I'm so glad you've come along with me for these first 5 years, and I hope you'll continue to follow your curiosity along with me for the next 5. I mean it when I say I would love to hear from you, so please do get in touch. You can also leave a review. There's a link in your podcast app, which is a quick way to help the show find new listeners. And please do share the episode with a friend. Thanks so much. If this episode resonated with you, or if you're feeling a little bit less than confident in your creative process right now, join me at The Spark on Substack as we form a community that supports and celebrates each other's creative courage. It's free, and it's also where I'll be adding programs for subscribers and listeners. The link is in your podcast app, so sign up today. See you there, and see you next week. Follow Your Curiosity is produced by me, Nancy Norbeck, with music by Joseph McDade. If you like Follow Your Curiosity, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tell your friends. It really helps me reach new listeners.